It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Today marks 25 years since the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001.
At Ground Zero in New York City today, ceremonies are marking the occasion with the names of nearly 3,000 victims being read aloud and a bell ringing at the exact minute each of the four planes crashed and when each of the Twin Towers fell.
Also during the ceremony, moments of silence, including one for the thousands of people who have passed away since, including first responders like police, EMS, and firefighters.
Wisconsin is also commemorating the event. In just a few minutes, we'll visit two new exhibits at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum.
First, Robert Verhelst is with us, a Madison firefighter who drove to New York City on September 11th and joined search and recovery efforts at Ground Zero. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me and remembering. Appreciate it.
Take us back to that decision you made 25 years ago to respond.
Yeah, I was a new firefighter for the city of Madison, and I had actually just gotten off of shift that day and saw that the Trade Towers had been hit, and I was part of a rescue team, and at that time we couldn't fly out or go anywhere, and so I just drove out there and got there the day after, and subsequently was out on the pile working as a tunnel rat, bucket brigade for the next 2 weeks.
The way you talk about it doesn't sound like there was a decision to make. You went.
There wasn't a decision to make. A lot of times, and I'm sure you saw with all the firefighters that responded to that day, it's a call of duty. It's a call of service. Being part of something bigger than yourself is why we get into the fire service, and that was one of those moments.
It was a difficult place to be and a difficult job to do, obviously. How did this affect your mental health and the way we think about mental health for first responders?
Yeah, it was, there was a lot of darkness around that those days, and you just did the work. You didn't understand that you were tired, and there was so many people that gave more than they had. And I think that was one of the things, the toll that it took on people afterwards, after getting home, after coming back to the normal day. That was a hard one. And I don't think for most of us that we understood the cumulative trauma that accounted from that day and still is that day. I mean, it's 25 years later, and there's a lot of people hurting from what they saw, what they did. Wouldn't change anything, because that was being, it was an important thing to be a part of. It was important to be down there, but being able to deal with it later, it takes a lot of support and a lot of understanding, that's for sure.
If you're willing to talk about it, what toll did you see it taking on you?
It changed my life a lot. I actually left the fire department for a little while and went into active duty for the military, trying to find myself, trying to find what purpose I had after seeing all that devastation, after seeing all those people have their lives taken away from them, not get a tomorrow for no reason whatsoever, and then sitting here having my tomorrow. It didn't feel right. And I think for me, it was trying to figure out what that purpose was to continue to move forward the next hour, the next day. And I know there's probably a lot of people who are down there that have that same feeling. And it was finding that purpose in life. And actually with Ironman Wisconsin, being on that weekend, 10 years later, I actually found that purpose of moving forward and having people take away from that day. I did it in full fire gear for the run portion, and have people take away what they needed that day without the words, but just with the actions of strength and resilience.
And we're 25 years out now. I understand the people who are working there formed very close connections with their peers, you know, maybe from their own firefighting or EMS unit, maybe people they met on the scene. Did you form those kind of connections?
Yeah, I had a lot of good connections that I had that day, and I've lost some of the people that I knew, which is a hard reality. One of my closest friends, he was a Chicago firefighter. He had a line of duty death just a few years ago, and
I'm sorry.
Nope. It's hard to see people like that leave.
Of course. Robert, how people are marking this with ceremonies and things like that. What for you is the best way to honor the people we lost that day and your friends you've lost since then?
I think you think about remembrance, and it's important to remember that they lost their lives, that they didn't get that next day, that next dream, that ability to hug their kids. But it's also important to remember it's how we live forward, how we take our lives and make every single moment matter, every single dream we chase, every single opportunity that we can help, we do. And I think that is a way to remember as well, not just on the day, but every other, 364 days out of the year. We honor them by living our lives to our fullest.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us on a difficult day. I appreciate you sharing your story.
Yeah, I appreciate the time.
Robert Verhelst is a 26-year veteran of the Madison Fire Department. He drove to New York City on September 11th and joined search and recovery efforts at Ground Zero. Now we turn to the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. To honor the anniversary, the museum has two new exhibits. Chris Kolakowski is director of the museum. Chris, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Chris, one of the exhibits is an online exhibit. It honors veterans who served since 9/11, people who joined, perhaps like Robert did. Tell us a little bit about what people can experience online.
So one of the things that we teach at the museum is that every veteran is a story, but also Wisconsin was there. There's a lot of historical events like 9/11 that have Wisconsin connections. And using oral histories from our extensive oral history collection, we've picked out some that you can read the quotes, but also listen to people in their voices. Some people were in the military on 9/11. Some people joined as a response to 9/11, it covers the gamut, but what it does is it views the event through the eyes of Wisconsinites from all over the state. And you see the impact, even though this was an event that physically occurred in New York, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C. area, it reverberated across the state and across the nation. And you can see that in our online exhibit.
And Chris, you shared one of those stories with us, Brian Martins of Madison, who was on duty at Folk Field when the 9/11 attacks occurred. In 2002, he was flying out to Afghanistan. At the time, he had a son under three. Here is an excerpt of his interview.
As we were leaving, the sergeant came in and said, "Hey, guys, as we were saying goodbye to our families, like, guys, the bus is ready, plane's ready, it's time." And then my son really knew his son was up because my wife was crying, my father was crying, my mother, sister were crying. And as I left, he started crying, "Daddy, Daddy," and I just walked straight out. And according to sources later, there was a dry eye in the house. And that was immensely hard.
The voice of Brian Martins there. Chris, how ready were people in Wisconsin to serve and, as Brian did, leave their families behind after the attacks?
Actually, Brian illustrates the spirit you got out of the previous interviewer as well. There were a lot of people that immediately, what do we do? How do we respond? How do we serve? What does this look like? Brian was ready to go, even though it was obviously a fraught moment when he deployed. But if you look at read other parts or listen to other parts of his oral history, you can tell even on that day, he's like, "I'm ready," and we hear that from a lot of veterans. We hear that from a lot of people. Other people would say, "Oh, I was thinking about joining the military or whatever. I joined as a result of 9/11. Or the country had been attacked. I want to do something to help the country recover and also to go after the people that were responsible."
Chris, maybe it's because I'm a radio guy, but I'm always impressed with the oral history work you do at the Veterans Museum.
Thank you very much.
What is the power, you think, of having these oral histories, the people speaking in their own voices about their experiences as veterans?
I think it's an incredibly powerful thing. It's one of those where you can read a transcript. It's one thing to read the words, the excerpt that you used. It's another thing to hear it in his voice and to hear his voice catch and hear the cadence and hear the, even years later, the emotion that was still present. We like to say at the museum, we are the microphone, the veteran is the voice. And in a very real and literal way, that's what our oral histories are. We've got almost 3,000 in our collection. They're available online for people to go check out. And as I mentioned, they're the basis for this 9/11 online exhibit we have.
The other new exhibit, it's about medics who've served in the time since. It's in your front window, I believe. It tells the story, among other things, of Rachel Hugo. Can you share that exhibit with us?
So this is Compassion Under Fire, and it's all about combat medics. And one of the reasons we wanted to do it around 9/11 is one of the enduring images of 9/11 is first responders running to the towers in the Pentagon and when people are running away. And that's what combat medics do. They are part of that tradition. They are part of that as well. And again, I go back to the previous interview, you got a taste of that. And so we wanted to honor them and really tell their stories and really zero in on that piece. And so we have combat medics from all different conflicts. And it's a very popular banner exhibit. We've got one set already traveling around the state. This set, when it leaves in early October from Madison, is going to start traveling around the state as well. There's a lot of response, a lot of people very interested in what we're talking about.
Briefly, Chris, I've talked to you in the past about exhibits on World War II, the Korean War, Vietnamese War, the Vietnam War. Why is it important for you as a museum to make sure you keep up to date with the veterans who have served in more recent history?
This is something that we need to collect now for the generations in the future. Just like the World War II generation preserved their memories, just like the World War I generation preserved their memories all the way back to the Civil War, they preserve their memories for the future generations to learn from, be inspired by. It's our job to capture these stories now while they're fresh, while they're within living memory, so that generations in the future can learn and be inspired by. You know, there's already something like a third of the people in the world that have no living memory of 9/11. And so by capturing these stories, we get people to understand not just what happened on that day, but the profound shock and the depth of the events of the 25 years ago today.
Thanks to Chris Kolakowski, director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. We also heard from Robert Verhels, a Madison Fire Department veteran who went to New York City on September 11th.